This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson.
When Ari Aster was a student at the American Film Institute Conservatory, the elite Hollywood school, he decided to make a movie that would unsettle people there as much as possible. That became The Strange Thing About the Johnsons, a genuinely shocking short film from 2011 about incest. It became kind of a viral online sensation.
Am I just this abusive monster and you're some sad, helpless victim? Or does it take two to tango? Because I think it does. And if I've done anything, you've done it with me.
His debut feature film is also about a family going through horrifying, unspeakable trauma. It premiered at the Sundance Film Festival earlier this year, and critics are calling it either the scariest film of the year or the scariest film since The Exorcist, which means the scariest film, I guess, of the last 45 years. The movie is called Hereditary.
First, light the candle, then choose an item that belonged to Grandma. Then read this out loud. It's to make things start.
Ari Aster wrote and directed Hereditary, which he is here with me now to talk about. Ari, welcome to Studio 360.
Thanks. Great to be here.
So it's going to be difficult to talk about this film without spoiling things.
Yeah. I've been having trouble even just providing summaries.
Yeah.
While I was taking the movie out and just pitching it, I was describing the film as a family tragedy that curdles into a nightmare, in the same way that life can feel like a nightmare when disaster strikes or, you know, things fall apart.
Right. You wrote it as well as directed it. I've read you say that it comes out of, it's not, Lord knows, I don't believe autobiographical. How could it be? But that it comes out of bad things that happened to your family, right?
Yeah, well, there were especially a few years that were just especially rough that my family and I went through. And in many cases, this was me watching, you know, people in my family just suffer. You know, not to be cryptic, but yes, but things had gotten so bad and so hard for a period of time that the prevailing feeling was that, we must be cursed.
Yeah.
So the idea was to take that idea of a family being cursed and to literalize that.
Yeah, exactly. So Hereditary is very naturalistic. For a horror movie with supernatural things going on, it is, I don't know, 80% a kind of family drama, right? And just the way it's shot and the way it's written and the way it's acted. Does that make it scarier, you think?
You know, I can say that I'm not affected by anything if I'm not invested in the people to whom these genre
if they're
things
just beautiful
are
teenagers about to get killed.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. It was very important to me that the film function first as a vivid family drama and that then all the horror elements grow out of their situation and what they're going through, as opposed to the people, you know, serving as devices for the horror.
Right.
That's always the difficulty with making a family film.
And you mean a family film with members of a family, not like a Disney family film. And that's
right, exactly. Yeah. Hereditary is not
for the whole family.
For the whole family. There was a part of me that was, you know, that really wanted to reject the idea that I was a horror filmmaker. You know, in this case I am, you know, I really hope to play in every genre, but I was very careful to like correct people when they when they called me a horror filmmaker.
And, no, I'm an aesthete and a snob.
Yeah, exactly. No, I used to be obsessed with horror films as a kid, and they were all I watched, you know, between like 12 and 13. I watched everything, and I had fallen off, you know, the wagon, and I hadn't been anything resembling like a devotee for, you know, at least a decade. But just in that one night, I felt like I came back to the genre in a big way.
Here's a clip from Hereditary, and this is a scene of a particularly distressing family dinner.
You okay, Mom?
What?
Is there something on your mind?
Is there something on your mind?
It just seems like there might be something you want to say.
Yeah. Like what? I mean, why would I want to say something so I could watch you sneer at me?
Sneer at you? I don't ever sneer at you.
Oh, sweetie, you don't have to. You get your point across.
Okay, so fine, then say what you want to say then.
Peter,
I don't want to say anything. I've tried saying
Okay, things. So try again. Release yourself.
Oh, release you mean?
Yeah, fine. Release me. Just say it. Just fucking say it.
Don't you swear at me, you little shit. Don't you ever raise your voice at me. I am your mother. Do you understand?
That is Toni Collette and...
And Alex Wolff as her son, Peter.
Right. Toni Collette gives a superb performance. But did she take convincing to be in this first-time guy's horror movie?
I don't know how much convincing I had to do, but I, you know, we sent her the script with a letter from me. She responded to the script, and we met in person, and we got along. And I'm sure she had to wrestle with it before she came on. You know, anybody who's seen the film knows it's a very dark, punishing film. And so ultimately, I think I'm pretty sure I told her when we first met, like, you know, this film really needs, you know, a kamikaze performance. And you know, she gives it.
Yeah.
But I can say that, you know, that I'll always be grateful to her, not only for the performance she gives in the film, which I think is remarkable, but for coming on board, because I was a first-time filmmaker. And you need an actor of that caliber to attach themselves, to basically legitimize the project. Her coming on gave people the
this is real.
The confidence.
This is legit.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, she came on board in less than a year. We were on set shooting the film.
One of the thing, frankly, that drew me to this film before I had heard about it or knew about it or knew about you was not its horror premise, but the miniatures in it. Your Toni Collette character, Annie Graham, is an artist who creates these perfect, beautiful little dioramas of her home and her things in her life and so forth. How did you decide on that? Where did that come from?
The miniatures struck me as just serving as a pretty potent metaphor for what's happening in the film, for the family's situation, which is that they have no agency, and that's something that they and we learn over the course of the film. And they ultimately are like dolls in a dollhouse being manipulated for outside ends by outside forces.
The show will resume in no time, but I did want to take this moment to suggest you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And while you're there, feel free to write a review, which does help people discover the show.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
And now, back to the podcast. I want to talk about what I guess is the most conventionally genre-specific horror movie-ish character, which is her youngest child, Charlie. Here's a clip.
You know you were her favorite, right? Even when you were a little baby, she wouldn't let me feed you because she needed to feed you. Crazy.
She wanted me to be a boy.
You know, I was a tomboy when I was growing up. I hated dresses and dolls and pink.
Who's going to take care of me?
Excuse me, you don't think I'm going to take care of you?
But when you die.
That's Millie Shapiro playing Charlie with Toni Collette. She is very, very good at playing this creepy horror movie kid. Do you just call up a casting director and say, I need this creepy kid?
I mean, yeah, that's kind of how it starts. Yeah. I was terrified of the idea of not finding somebody who could do this part, because even I, you know, was afraid to have an image in my head of who Charlie was, you know, for fear of not finding it. I was beginning to despair of finding that part, and then Millie Shapiro came in, and this is her first film, but she is something of a veteran already. She won a special Tony for playing Matilda on Broadway, but she came in and she just blew me away.
Right.
We talked a bit about Charlie before we shot, but she is really somebody she's like a sponge. Like any idea she just takes on and breathes life into it.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what the character would be without her,
yeah.
But it certainly wouldn't be what it is.
No, she is Drew Barrymore in E.T.'s evil twin. That's what I thought as soon as I saw her.
That's perfect.
Now, is it, she's what, 13, 12 when she made this film?
I think she was 14 when she made the film.
So, okay, is it difficult saying, and Millie, we're going to cast you because you're so convincingly creepy?
Well, you know, Millie loves horror movies.
Well, there you go, like you would.
Yeah. Yeah, she loves horror movies. She was so excited by the idea of being in a horror film. And, you know, even while we were shooting, she was asking, like, is it creepy? You think I'm going to creep people out?
Oh, good. She's into it.
She's into it, and she couldn't be more excited about, you know, about the reception it's already had and about how she's being.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah.
And as you wrote it, did you think, oh, Rhoda in the bad seat, you know, the twins in The Shining, did you have those images of horror movie kids in your head?
Sort of. I was aware that she was that character was playing into that tradition. I was also thinking about, you know, Michael Haneke's films, Benny's Video, which is, you know, like a very disturbing film with a very, very frightening young sociopath at its at its center.
Sind die Bauern, die uns den Hof verbrachten? Jetzt pass auf.
I would even point to Lars von Trier's The Kingdom, which is a brilliant miniseries that people should watch if they haven't. There are two seasons of it, and there's a baby that is played by Udo Kier and grows to, you know, to be like 20 feet tall and, you know, is ultimately benevolent, but he's totally grotesque.
Jeg vil så gerne dø. Min mor vil ikke hjælpe mig.
There's so many creepy kids in movies that are worth mentioning that aren't necessarily in horror films.
No, the Billy Mumy episode of The Twilight Zone, for instance.
Hey, exactly. That character's also in The Twilight Zone movie.
And now we've elected him president.
Yeah. And that's true.
I hate anybody that doesn't like me.
Why, everybody loves you, Anthony. They love you, son. You're everybody's favorite.
That dog. That collie dog. He's a bad dog.
At 12 and 13, when you were a horror movie aficionado or otherwise, were there movies that came back consciously or not to influence how you did this one?
Yeah. Well, you know, in a way, I was looking at the films that I grew up loving and that I still love. There are certainly nods to Rosemary's Baby, which is probably my favorite horror movie.
You're lying. It didn't die. You took it. You're lying. You're witches. You're lying.
But then Don't Look Now was certainly a film I was thinking about.
The Nicholas Roeg film that starred Julie Christie and Donald Sutherland.
Yeah.
My sister's psychic. She wants you to know. I've seen her. Christie. Oh, but she's laughing. She's laughing. She's happy as can be.
In a way, this film serves as sort of a spiritual cousin to that film. It's trying to do a lot of the same things, I feel. It's a film about a relationship that's trying to hold together after an unfathomable loss.
It's dark, like yours. I mean, it's physically dark.
It's very dark. Yeah, it's very dark. What it does with mood and dread and what it does with the location of Venice, you know, is really powerful.
Now, your studio, A24, who makes a disproportionate number of really good movies for a newish, smallish studio, has given you the go-ahead, the green light for a new film already, right?
That's right.
Another horror film?
Another horror film, probably the last one I'll make for a little while. Yeah, we're shooting it this August in Europe.
Wow. You're on a roll.
I'm grateful.
Ari Aster, thanks for coming by.
Thank you very much.
Hereditary is in theaters around America now. Thanks for listening, and you can subscribe to Studio 360 at iTunes or Overcast or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts.